Okay, so we're going to talk about the truth a little bit this morning. So everything that you said this morning so far has been the truth, right?
Best we know.
As far as we know. so there is a truth that God has given unto all of mankind, and that is free will. He has given us, he allows every individual the ability. Now, I'm going to put it this way, because this, when it comes right down to it at the end, this is the ability that we have. Most people say it's to make choices, and that's what it's about. But it's the ability to choose to be, whether we're going to be obedient or disobedient in our life here upon this earth to him. So ultimately, you are making the choice between life and death. That's what it's all about. So that's pretty plain, and a lot of people don't like to hear it that way, but that's what it's all about. So therefore, it would be far better or greater to say that humanity's or mankind's greatest desire is freedom. Would y'all agree with that? We all desire some sort of freedom, whether it's in our life, whether it's in the place that we live, whether it's in our governments, whether it's in our school. It don't matter. We talk about freedom, and with this, then this is the ability to be able to choose the pathway of our own opportunity. That's what we want in life. Well, God wants to help us with that, but we tend to want to choose our own opportunity. So and when we talk about choosing our own opportunity, we think that this is our ability to be able to choose to escape the pressures of the world around us. All of those things that are going on in our life, we're seeking a way to avoid those things. We're seeking a way to overcome those things. We're seeking a way to get away from those things in our life. So we want to find, now listen to, I was about to say pay attention. Pay attention to this. We want independence without responsibility. That's what it boils down to in our life. And so God wants to help us with this. So he wants us to understand that true freedom can only come from God, because it's the truth of God, or the truth of God's word, that's what sets us free. And this freedom begins with God. If it only comes from God, then it has to begin with God, and it begins when we accept his saving grace. The righteousness that God or Christ wants to give to us because of the sin debt that he paid for us. So that means that when we choose this in our life, now we have chosen to be set free from the bondage of sin. That's what's holding us down, is the bondage of sin. So that means that once we are saved, once we have chosen this pathway in our life, then we have to continue. That we've got to continue in that. So that means we're going to continue to experience the spiritual characteristics of our freedom. Now, if we're going to continue to experience the spiritual characteristics of our freedom, then that means we're going to let go of the things of the world, because they have nothing to do with the valuable characteristics that God has in store for us in our life. So we're going to allow God to position us in Christ, through Christ, where he wants us to be. So, since this freedom, so to speak, comes by the truth of God, then we must learn that we always must walk in the light of that truth. So everything that we do, we must be walking in the light of the truth of God's word. Now, we can only do that if we abide by the truth of God's word. We can only abide by the truth of God's word if we study the truth of God's word, so that we know what God is trying to tell us through his word. So we must become obedient. See, now we're back to what we talked about. We're choosing between obedience and disobedience. So we must become obedient to the promises and the commandments of the word of God. So this these promises and these commandments, they help us with the circumstances, the situations and circumstances that are going on in our life. And let me tell you that the situations and the circumstances that are going on in your life and in my life, they're going to change daily. So when you think you got a handle on it, it'll change tomorrow and you no longer have a handle on it. That's why we turn it over to God. We allow Him to be in control. So that means our response as a believer isn't to try to get a handle on these things ourselves in our life, but it's to stand firm in our righteousness in Christ, in our obedience in Christ, and let Him take care of those things in our life for us. So we're going to look at a couple different verses as we go down through here this morning, but I'm going to go over into the book of John, chapter 16, and the first verse I want to read, and this is Christ when He was teaching His disciples, chapter 16, verse 33. Here's what He said: "These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace." And only in Christ can we find peace, because that's where our salvation comes from. He says, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." He said, "I have overcome the world." So anytime that we find ourselves with that the world is overcoming us, we can go here and say, if we are in Christ, Christ overcame the world, therefore I have this same power within me. I can now say that I have overcome the world. So that means that this bondage that comes through this worldly deceptions, we have freedom from that in our life. We no longer have to allow that bondage to interrupt our inner peace. The inner peace that comes from the salvation that we got through Christ, through the crucifixion and the resurrection, because Christ conquered that for us on the cross and through the resurrection, He conquered and overcame sin and death for us. So in John, if you just go right on over into the next chapter in John, chapter 17, verse 17, here's what He said. He said, "Sanctify them," meaning us as believers. He said, "Sanctify them, but do it through the truth." And He said, where do we find the truth? He said, "Thy word." The word is the truth. So if you're feeling that in your life, if you're feeling that you're not separated from the world around you, it's because we're spending too much time in the world around us and not enough time in the truth of God's word. So God says we're sanctify them in that truth of that word. We've been united with God. That means that we've been united with Him in the truth of His word. So that means that now every time that something happens in our life, we need to turn to the truth of God's word, not to your neighbor, not to the preacher, not to the Sunday school teacher, not turn to the truth of God's word. The more that we turn to the truth of God's word, the greater our relationship becomes with God. That's why He wants us to spend so much time in the truth of God's word. So that means we're now set apart for His purpose. And you know, His purpose is a holy purpose. It's not the whatever we're off, the next tangent that we're off on in the world, but it's a holy purpose. It's a purpose that He has consecrated us for. It's a holy service that we do for Him, because now He is transforming us by the truth of His word. So that means He is aligning our life with His will. And that's what we need in our life today. So that means that the truth of the gospel, that is our objective in life, because that is the reality of our life. The truth of the word of God should be the reality of the life that I'm living here upon this earth. And I should be allowing it to control my thoughts, everything that's going on in my mind, my behaviors, my actions, because that is what's going to keep me safe. It is allowing the truth of God's word to influence my life and not allowing the world to influence my life. So our spiritual growth as we live our life here upon this earth, it's driven, okay? And it's actively driven. It's not just saying I read. It's not just saying I study. It's not just saying I pray. It's showing people that we actively believe in this. We actually are obedient to the word of of God. It means that we're actively and fervently seeking after God through our obedience to His Word. So, John chapter 8. Back up a few chapters in John. John chapter 8, and I want to read verses 31 and 32. And here's what he said. He's trying to get the disciples. He's trying to give them some understanding here. And in 8, 31 and 32, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word." Okay? He got them started in it. So he said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So we're getting away from all the divisions now in the world. We're getting away from the between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the different denominations, the different nationalities, all these things. We're getting away from that, and we're saying, if you continue in my word, then you're going to be a disciple of mine. So if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. And here's what he said. If you are my disciple, he said, you shall know the truth. Now, that doesn't mean reading it and say, oh yeah, I have wisdom and knowledge of it. But when he says you shall know the truth, he means that you've accepted that into your life. You're actively participating in that. You're actively living it in your life. And he said, when you begin to do that, then he said, it's that truth, the truth of my word. He said, that is what's going to make you free or set you free in your life. So let's ask a couple of questions this morning. As believers, why do we desperately need the truth to set us free? Have you ever stopped and just thought about that for a moment in your life? When I'm reading, I'm saying, Lord, why do I need this? You know, we all pick up the Bible. The Holy Spirit shows us something in our life. And sometimes the first question we have is, Lord, why here? Why did you bring me to this? Why do I need this in my life? And it's because when we begin to fall prey to the temptations of sin in our life, then it begins to corrupt our thinking. And God knows this ahead of the situation and circumstance that you are about to go through. So it's okay to ask, Lord, why do I need this in my life? And God's going to tell you it's because you're about to be tempted. Sin is about to come your way. Your thoughts are going to go to the world. It's going to begin to control your actions. And when it begins to control your actions, then it's going to destroy your peace of mind. And he says, I'm going to try to take care of this before it ever happens. How often does that work? Sometimes not very often, because we don't pay attention to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. So we go ahead and follow after this temptation. We go ahead and follow after this corruption, this thing that is going to destroy our peace of mind. So we have to understand, we have to learn to understand that what does Christ represent to us? Christ represents the truth of all things. And through the truth that he represents, he has made it possible for us to escape these things in our life. We can, the things that are coming up in your life, we can escape those things if we follow after the truth of God's word. But we don't always escape those things because we don't always accept the truth that God is trying to show us. So let me ask you this question. Are there people in the world today, people that claim to be saved, people that claim to be born again, people that claim to have this righteous experience with the Lord, are there people like that today, but they still do not choose to abide in the truth of God's word? That would be a yes. Yes, there are. And from time to time, if you would look at your own life, we fall into that category ourselves. So this is a reality that we have to come to know and to live with in our life. So this is why we must learn to obey the truth of God's word. This is why we must learn to grow in wisdom. We must learn to grow in knowledge. We must learn to follow and pray for understanding so that our spiritual understanding in the Lord might mature, so that we spend less time falling into this category and more time following after the truth of God's word. So that means our freedom, and we're going to talk about our freedom here in just a minute. Our freedom is found not in the things that are going on in the world today, but our freedom is found in our relationship with Christ. This is where we find our freedom, because it came by our faith, and through that faith, God, through Christ, released us from that spiritual captivity that we had going on in our life, that spiritual captivity that sometimes we find ourselves in because we have chosen to put ourselves back into that captivity. But He has released us from that in our life so that we can move on in our life with Him. So in 1 John, let's go to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and here's what it says. And we know that the Son of God is come, so that means we understand that Christ was born upon this earth, we know He was born, that He lived upon this earth as an example to us. He was crucified, He was resurrected, and because of this, He has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. So we have this understanding in our life that we know that this is true, that we may know Him that is true, and that we are in Him that is true. So see, we just don't know Him. We're part of Him. We're in Him that is true. And it says His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God, and this is what eternal life is all about. So Christ, God through Christ offered everybody, not just us as believers, but He offered everybody spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin. Now, not everybody was obedient and accepted that. But when we did accept it, He said, I released you from all of that in your life. I released you from having to live that lifestyle. So why do we still live that lifestyle? That should be a question that we ask. But He said, I released you from all that in our life, because He said, now I'm helping you to see the truth. The truth about why I have created you to be here upon this earth. So the truth is that once we have accepted that, then He wants us to proclaim that. I lost my teeth. Proclaim that to everybody else. Again, I shouldn't say that word, maybe proclaim. So he wants us to, I will say it again, proclaim that to everybody else upon this earth, because He wants us to develop not only a personal, intimate relationship with Him, but with other believers within the body of Christ. So that means that through the truth of God's word, we begin to grasp the depth of what His love, His compassion, His grace, and His mercy is all about. Because He wants us to see and experience the reality of our eternal life with Him, the freedom that He has in store for us in our life. Now, in Galatians, He talks about that a little bit. Let's go to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Here's what He says. For brethren, so we know He's talking to the believer here. He says, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. All right? We've been called into this freedom. If we're obedient, we have accepted it. Now we're living in this freedom. But here's what He says. And remember, I told you that, yes, there are those who choose to abide not in the truth of God's word. And this is what He's warning against right here. He said, do not use that liberty that you found through the truth of my word, through your salvation. He said, do not use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Or meaning, do not use that liberty for an excuse. And I'm going to say a lame excuse, because most people's excuses of why they're not serving God are lame excuses. So He says, don't use that for that. But by love, serve one another. So there is no excuse for not doing the things that God has in store for us to do. So here's one of the things that we must come to understand in our life is that our spiritual freedom, listen to this. I'm going to have a hard time saying listen to this and not pay. Listen to this. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Our spiritual freedom does not, okay, listen, pay attention to that word, does not give us permission to say it's okay to follow after the fleshly, worldly desires, those things that we're dawn on out there in the world today and saying, well, it'll be okay with God because it's not that bad. There is no truth to that. You cannot find no truth to that in the Word of God. So he said, it was given unto us that we might willingly serve God and serve one another with this freedom, with this truthful freedom, so that we're not making choices to do what we want to do, but now we're able to choose to, and we have the power to follow after the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. But yet, we use the truth of God's word to do exactly what he says not to do. Use not this liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And we're doing it. Every day of our life, we're doing it. So in Jeremiah, let's jump back into Jeremiah because people don't relate sometimes the Old Testament with the New Testament. And we know that we must learn to do that in our life. But in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 10, here's what he said. This was Jeremiah. This is one of the messages that he was preaching at the gates of the temple. And he says, but the Lord is the true God. Okay, and he doesn't stop there. He said, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. He is an everlasting God. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide in his indignation. So Jeremiah's given us a glimpse of what the power of God is truly all about. And he said, as believers, or in this case Israel, we should quit trying to compare things. Well, he said, there is no comparison to the things that are in the heavens above and the things that are in the earth below. There is no comparison to that because he said, God alone is eternal. He is the true God. He is the sovereign God of the universe. So that means he's a living God. It says he is an everlasting God. So that means God, his perfection for mankind, God wants to show that to us in our life daily. So that means every day in our life, God is trying to unfold something in our life that he wants us to actively become for him. The purpose that he has for us in our life. And it all has to do and gives us the assurance of our salvation. So in a world that changes every day, God says you have the assurance in your life that I don't change. That everything that I have set forth for you in your life, he said, it's going to remain exactly what I wanted for you, and nothing in the world can change it unless you decide to allow it to change your life. That comes from us. So he said, for this reason, he says, I provide to you the truth of my word. I provide that to encourage you so that you might be obedient or rely upon the promises and the commandments of this word so that we might be able to live, listen to this, that we might be, every time I say that I'm going to laugh, that we might be able to live through the inconsistencies of our life here upon this earth. And we have a lot of inconsistencies in our life. John chapter 17. Let's go back to John. John chapter 17, verse 3. Here's what he says. This, he's given you an explanation of eternal life. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. So if you remember, Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So he said, this is that eternal life, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, because you can't get to God without Christ, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is not just something that we're looking forward to, even though as believers, a lot of believers will say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven one of these days, I can just sit here and wait on the Lord to come and get me. But that's not what your eternal life is all about. Yes, God wants us to look forward to it. He wants us to pray and to search after the coming of Christ. But this free gift of grace that God has given unto everyone to believe, he gave it to us as a possession that we, it's not just for future, our eternal future with him, but it's also for now. As we live now in our present day, he gave us this free gift of grace so that we might be able to enjoy what his eternal life is truly going to be all about. So it's not just something that we received and it was momentarily, and now we're waiting on it one of these days to develop into something that God wants it to be, but it's something that we receive that should be developing in our life every day. It started with the free gift of grace that comes from God. So here's what we do know is that we cannot know the Father without the Son. True. True or false? That would be true. Because the only one that is true, the only one purpose that we have, the only one spirit that we follow, the only one life we live comes from God himself. So Christ, who is the Word of God, the Bible said he was made flesh. He came and he lived so that he might offer unto us this eternal life, so that we might be able to, that we won't die now in our trespasses and sin, but through the truth of God's Word, we have established this unity with God, this eternal life that we have through him. So we can all agree that without God the Father and without God the Son, then there is no eternal life. Without the Son, there is no access to God. So we need all of this in our life, because he gave Christ the power, not just over all of mankind, but he gave the power to give eternal life so that we might find this liberty or this freedom that we seek every day of our life. And you hear people every day say, boy, if I could just be free from this, if I could just be free from that, if I could just be free to do this or to do that, we can, in Christ, we can have freedom. So in the book of 3 John, and I'll say chapter 1, but there is no 3 John is just 3 John. It has 14 verses. So in the book of 3 John, verses 3 and verses 4, here's what it said. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came, and what does it say here? And testified of the truth that is in thee. The truth of God that is in them, even as thou walkest in the same truth. So they just didn't say they had it. It said they walked in it because they believed in it. And he said, there is no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Our fellowship with God is something that everybody else sees. And when I say as a believer, they see it. And you say, well, they might not see it if we don't have any. They see your fellowship with God, and they see how close your relationship is with God. So for those who are living closely to God, they can see and understand that. And also for those who aren't living as close to God as they should be, people see that as well. And then they come to know and to understand what they believe to be a little bit about the truth of God's word. So if you jump back into chapter 8, in chapter 8, verse 36, he said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, then you're what? You are free indeed. And if we are free indeed, then we should allow people to see that spiritual liberty or that spiritual freedom that we are living in." So that means if we don't have Christ, if we've never had faith in Christ, then we're still bound by sin. Now, if we have accepted Christ but don't put all of our faith in Christ, that means that there's times in our life that we still allow sin to enslave us. And God set us free from that. But if we allow that sinfulness to enslave us, then it deceives us. And now I'm living parts of my life that I think I don't have any freedom in, because I'm allowing this sinfulness to control my life. And if I'm allowing it to control my life, then it's corrupting my thoughts and the things that I should be thinking about or hoping towards God. It's corrupting those things. And now my freedom is being dissolved because I'm following after the deception of the world. And anytime we follow after something of the world, we're going to lose that eyesight or that direction to our spiritual freedom. So Christ made sure that through his word, we can be free from these things. All this self-righteousness, these things that we allow to overpower us in our life. We are free from those things if we are willing, listen to this, if we are willing to become completely, wholly obedient to his word. But we've got to be willing to do that in our life. So that means that we're not free to do just what we want to do according to the world, but we're free to do everything that God has desired for us to do in our life. This is what true liberty or spiritual freedom is all about. It can only come through the truth. If we are living a lie, we will never see the freedom that God wants us to live. So that means if I'm living in the truth of God's word, I no longer desire the sinfulness that attracts me in the world. I'm putting those things aside because now I desire to live in my freedom, but that freedom can only come through Christ. So that means as we begin to live in the truth of God's word and the freedom that he gives us, we are no longer defined by who we used to be or what we used to be or the things that we used to do, but we are defined by the things that Christ is doing within our life. So that means when we remain faithful in Christ, then of a truth, we will be able to say that we have allowed God's truth, which is the truth of his word, to set us free. But we can only say it truthfully if we're being obedient to the promises and the commandments of God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we are so thankful, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. We're thankful, Lord, for the many, many opportunities that you allow us in life to experience the freedom of your salvation. We pray for forgiveness of those times that we allowed the sinfulness, the deception of the world to enslave us, where we no longer felt free. And we're thankful for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to help us, Lord, that shows us to overcome those things in our life, to once again reestablish us in your freedom, Heavenly Father. So we just pray this day, Lord, as we go our separate ways, as we go out into the world, Lord, help us to allow others to see what that spiritual freedom is truly all about. Help us, Lord, to not just gain wisdom and knowledge, but help us to see the reality of our life in you and to understand what it is that you would have us to do, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, not to use your liberty as an excuse, but to always use as something that proclaims and promotes the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. We just pray this day, Lord, that you would watch over us, that we would continue to follow after your leadership and your guidance. Lord, that daily we would ask forgiveness of those things in our life that are not pleasing unto thee. And Lord, that you would help us to allow our light to shine so that others may see the truth of your word within each and every one of us. We just pray this day once again, Lord, that you would forgive us for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, and that you would help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, so remember Thursday evening Bible study, and we're going to try to finish up the church at Thyatira. So we're in the last few verses of chapter 2, and then we'll move on to the next church, which I believe is Sardis, which would be the beginning of chapter 3. So next Sunday we will be over at Big Isaac Community Church for Sunday school and preaching. And then next week also will be the first Thursday of the week. So we'll be having Bible study over there as well. So keep that in mind. I think the weather's going to be cooperative, and so let's go over and have a good time and fellowship with one another over at Big Isaac Community Church. Okay, does anybody else have anything? All right, let's stand and we'll praise the Lord 3 times. Let's go to dinner. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for joining in on the phone.